Happy Tuesday evening. This is Gregory Ricks. I'm your host of Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. Get your phone, make the call. Yeah, you heard it. Get the phone, make the call. 5043. No, I'm going to change the number. That was my office. We'll set back. Okay, let's do it again. Get the phone, make the call. 504-260-995. Gosh, one night off from the show, I'm like butchering it up. 504-260-0995. So make that call. Join the conversation. This is live financial talk radio. That's why you have the errors.
Right. I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, Gregory knows the financial world a lot better than he remembers phone numbers. So let's just go and get started.
Oh, I've done some coaching today as well on rules and such. Oh, one of the things, we had the estate planning lunch and learn yesterday, and kind of going through our process that we cover. That was my talk at it was 5 minutes. Can you believe that held? I put on an event. Wes Blanchard, the estate planning attorney, covered most of it. And then I go in there, I talk for about 5 minutes. There was a Q&A and nobody asked me a question.
They'll ask Wes.
They were just, it was all about estate planning. But I talked about our process where, you know, some of the areas that we want to focus on: income planning, investment planning, health, legacy. And I know there's one other I'm missing from that topic. And that took me about 5 minutes to cover those areas. But one of the things regarding health I talked about is something that we've added on regarding the Medicare area. In the health, it kind of covers two areas. Long-term health care, how we handle that from an overall standpoint, which is unique in how we do that. And from a long-term care standpoint, is we want to make sure assets grow in retirement and that you leverage your money. I don't always like the traditional way where you buy a health long-term care policy, you have a premium that and the policy's constructed as experience based, which means your premiums are going up. Oh, that feels painful long-term. We have a way we go about that on leveraging assets to protect that. But one of the other areas is Medicare that I spoke of in that brief 5 minutes. And I think I cracked everybody up. I said, you know, what we're going to do is help give you guidance on Medicare, you know, parts A, B, C, D, F, G, and N. And I said, yeah, well, I don't have to know the whole alphabet regarding Medicare. All I've got to know is A through N. And they like cracked up because people that have Medicare kind of get that. You know, it's just your A and B are kind of core parts. Your C is kind of the HMO type coverage. D has to do with health care. F is the primary supplement there. Then G and N are variations of that. And then F for future Medicare supplement clients aren't going to be able to pick up F because that's going away January 1 of 2020. So they're going to G or N. Those that were using F are grandfathered in. And you can kind of see, and everybody listening is like, if you're not involved in having Medicare coverage, I just lost everybody, you know. And if you're 55, you're 50, you're 45, you're James' age, 40, my age, 21. I'm just kidding. Let's see, how old am I? I'm 58. See, look, if we're not having Medicare, we don't get all those letters. But if you have Medicare, you're up to speed. They understand totally what I'm discussing. But in that few minutes, and when I mentioned, I could see those, I knew who in the audience there of the 20 people attending the lunch and learn. When I went through the alphabet there, I knew exactly who had Medicare, who didn't in that case. And the others were like, what is he talking about? Your day's coming to understand, because in life we have two decisions to make. And one of them we talk about on this show and take a lot of calls about, and that is Social Security. when are you going to turn? Because you're turning it on. It's when do you turn it on? And it doesn't happen automatically. You have to go and turn on Social Security. Oh, a spousal benefit. You have to go and turn that on, whether you do it online or go to a Social Security office. Guess what? Medicare, does it turn on automatically? You know it doesn't, James.
Right.
You have to do it. And if you don't do it within a certain period of time, you have to, then you have a penalty. Now, if you're still working and working past 65, you're deferred, but what, there's a window when you stop working, turn on, or else there's a penalty. And the penalty, what was is interesting about it is the penalty goes from now on. That's like on dealing with your Part D, the drug coverage. If you, there's a penalty if you don't deal with that at a certain time. It's kind of like you turn on Medicare. You need to make a decision on Part D. And you're going to say, well, why are they penalized? And this is the James Parker take on Part D on Medicare is, well, I'm healthy. I don't need any drugs. I don't need prescriptions. So why do I need to pay a premium for something I don't need? Well, when you defer that need, they're penalizing. There's going to be a penalty, and you pay that penalty forever. And it's based on how long you defer. You know why that is? Because they want you to opt in immediately. It's like the healthy. You know, what would, remember on Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, as its legal name is, wanted all the young people to opt in and buy health insurance, right?
Right.
Why?
Because they're less likely to use it.
Yeah. They don't need it, but they would be paying a premium to spread the cost, spread the risk. And that's also on the Part D as well of why you need to spread the risk. So I don't know. I got off on a tangent there regarding our lunch and learn, but you know, this just is there when you go about your money, spending money, coverages and stuff to do with retirement, this is huge stuff to discuss. So I kind of talked about that, but yeah, my 5 minutes, and I've spoke about it 8 minutes here on describing my 4 or 5 minute discussion. But the lunch and learn was awesome. We got another estate one coming up in back into March. And then we have a tax planning lunch and learn also that I want you to sign up for. And we're going to focus on zero in that one. You know what zero is? Zero tax. I had several meetings today in the office where families were coming in and talking with me. And that was their discussion is, how can I create some tax-free income when it's time to take income? I like that idea of not having income on my showing up on my 1040 and it be tax-free, which lowers my income tax brackets, makes my Social Security possibly at a lower tax bracket. So that's what we're going to be talking about, that one as well.
See, I didn't get to see the live event yesterday, so I'm just kind of learning along with the fellow listening.
It was full. I'm sorry. If I'd had an empty chair, I'd have let you sit in. We have a no-show next month. I'll get you in, James. I have some pull.
You know the guy?
I know the guy.
Well, the thing is some of this material that y'all covered on the event, I don't think we've covered all of this on the show before. And did they do that on purpose? Because I always thought that they did Medicare Part D on purpose because it handles your drugs. But then you said Part F, future people are not going to be able to deal with it because it goes away January 1st. And then what is G? Part G are grandfathered in? There's no way they did that on purpose. You just
One of the things that the core thing for people to understand, why would F be going away? Because it has such a low entry level to medical services, like, so everybody will take advantage of it, and the threshold is low, so which it means more expense to Medicare. So that's why it's going away.
And you had told me about this, or you just mentioned it on the show, setting up for the event. I'm not sure I know about Part F, G, and N at all. We've definitely covered A, B, C, and D on the show. Up and down, left and right.
And that's where on an upcoming show, we'll kind of dedicate to this discussion and cover a couple segments of it on an upcoming episode. here. Probably we'll do it this coming Saturday, have a discussion about it on our three-hour extravaganza. We'll cover that a little bit.
Well, I think this is this bad news? The one that you have set up for March, hang on, the one you have set up for March, it's already halfway full.
Well, the estate planning
yes.
event, which that's Wes Blanchard, W.J. Blanchard Law's event, and I'll talk on the back end of it briefly, but that just estate planning is something that, you know, where I talk about you have to make a decision on Social Security. You have to make a decision on your Medicare coverage, and you have to opt in on both of those or else you don't get in. But on estate planning, something you should take action on, but the government has a plan for you if you don't. Not that they're confiscating your money. You're just following the guidelines that the state legislature has set for you. But what you can do with estate planning is you could choose to opt in and maybe have a will that gives direction on what you want to do with your stuff. And you might want even, maybe I want to keep my stuff private. Well, you might need to use an irrevocable trust. Well, I want my stuff handled in an orderly fashion. Maybe you should have a revocable trust. So you have to decide what you want to do with your stuff or not, and let somebody else deal with it. That's an option, and that's why we have that lunch and learn.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Here you go. Winning at Life. Live Financial Talk Radio. Financial News Talk Radio. Ready? Talk about your money. You want to go green like me? I'm going green. I'm all in on the growing the green.
It's the old Green Deal.
The old Green Deal is what we're sticking to. Not this $93 trillion Green Deal that's going to bankrupt the planet and we'll have to sell off assets to some galaxy far, far away to pay the bills. No, the old Green Deal is greenbacks. We're growing our greenbacks. Greenbacks, for millennials, it's money. Remember, before you were born, they were all the same color. All the money was green. We're growing it green. We're sticking with the old plan. We want more of it, and we want to grow it, and we want to keep it. So that's what we're going to talk about. Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. James Parker there. 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app, and you can like text us, email us, call us about the old green plan. That's it. Yeah, you can communicate with the show. You can listen to us on the stream. You can grab the podcast and learn more about the old green method. Forget the new green. Go with the old.
I wish I got to go to the event yesterday, because one of the things I was curious about is what kind of questions are going to be asked. The people that come in and they want help estate planning, so much so that they're going to take time out of their day to come learn a little bit more from you and Wes. What was on their mind? What was driving these people to the event? Was it the basics, or are we talking next level stuff?
Well, it's a combination of both. Some of the basics, they just don't realize the effect. And when you're, and we have people listening to us across the country, but this was in Louisiana, a lunch and learn, where you have Napoleonic code, where there's community property, there's forced heirship, and they just don't necessarily pick up on what that means. And my thing from, it doesn't matter whether you're community property or non-community property or your right of survivorship state, meaning if you die, everything just goes to the spouse. But what you want to have is a roadmap. You hear me saying like a lot about that is what path are you on? You know, your financial world. Are you on that path you are wishing your financial destination to be at? You know, from a estate planning, legacy planning, is what is that path you want it to be on? So if something happens to you, there's life events that affect your estate, how do you want that to go? How do you want that to transition? And that's what we're really trying to get across. So it doesn't matter whether it's Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, there's a mix of things going along. But if you create an order, you don't have to worry about, oh, this Napoleonic code got me. You know, I was having a discussion with a couple that was in today, and it was regarding trusts and IRAs. And he was saying that, you know, the husband had said, you know, I was kind of having a discussion with my attorney, and we were talking about maybe changing one of the beneficiary sections in the plan we have with you, because, you know, this is somebody that I've got named as beneficiary, has lots of money. Actually, they have more money than I do, but there's this other special needs child that I would like to direct those assets to. And we were talking about setting up a trust for that. And I said, well, hold on, this is IRA money. Do you know that the trust can't inherit an IRA? That's a taxable event. Now, you could set up a pass-through trust. Structuring it properly would not create that taxable event. And I said, look, well, hold on a second, because you're dead then when this happened, so maybe it doesn't matter because you're dead. You didn't know it was a taxable event. You didn't know it was done wrong. Well, I'm here to tell you that structuring would create a taxable event. So now you know before you die that this might not work right. That's why we're here, to help you understand that. And the people that are helping you structure that, meaning that attorney, is to make sure that maybe this does get structured so we don't have a taxable event that eats up some of the funds that you're wanting to work to help this special needs person. So this is kind of discussions we get into, whether it's at that event or in meetings. And then we defer to Wes Blanchard to help get this set up correctly.
Well, when we have Wes on the show and y'all are talking about estate planning, so many times it comes down to, well, what kind of rule is that? And the answer is Napoleonic code. So it just seems so weird because Napoleon, you know, great field general. I hear he's pretty good with a cannon. Apparently a terrible estate planning attorney, but we're stuck
with
it.
But that goes to if you're in Mississippi with joint tenants with right of survivorship. That has nothing to do with Napoleonic code. That's structuring the trust wrong, because a trust from the IRS standpoint, they basically say, no, a trust cannot inherit an IRA. That creates a taxable event. What you want to do is create a pass-through trust. So this individual that's Benny, you make the Benny
beneficiary.
Beneficiary. That's my short. Benny. Is okay. Benny. Is the IRA can be the Benny of the trust, but it's properly structured that it's a pass-through, that it follows how the trust wants it to go, but the trust is not owning it. It just merely is a conduit for that money to get to where it needs to ultimately. And that Benny trust could hold the distributions as they move, or they can continue them on through who they need to go to. But, and that's not, and then you don't blow up the IRA, because think about if you're passing on an IRA worth $100,000 and all of a sudden it's a taxable event, there goes $30,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in taxes all at once. Immediate impact of a blown up IRA is more impactful because the whole value is taxable versus, say, the distributions were going to be $4,000 or $5,000 a year. Let's see, which is more higher tax bracket, 100K or 5K?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, okay, so we understand it. And I see IRAs all the time that are much larger than that, so we don't want them to blow up.
Well, I just like that you're occupying this space, because part of the reason you put up the event is, where else are you going to learn this? Who else is teaching you the Medicare
cards? Where else did these people have to go yesterday at noon? Where else? Tell me. Somebody call me and tell me. 504-260-0995. Tell me, where else could they have gone to get that information and get lunch yesterday?
Well, they don't even teach classes like this at the community college, you know, whether you're going to Harvard on the Hill or Delgado or over there, they got the Gulf Coast Community College. There's not classes for this. So where did you learn it? How did you, if a professor didn't teach you?
Reading, and I've been doing this a long time.
One of them spirals.
And reading is constant. Yeah, you always... Look, people watching us on Periscope or Facebook Live, hey, everybody, welcome to the show. But they're always seeing spiral-bound books in front of me, and if you could see what's off-screen, there's another stack of books and that's going about a foot high over there. Just constant reading. That's where it goes, and I'm probably at a conference. Well, I know in 2019, I will be, you know, I always kind of say I'm at a conference somewhere every month. Well, actually, it's more often than that this year. That's just how much information needs to be absorbed.
I'm trying to drag you to two radio conferences.
Yeah, and that's getting mixed in this year, too. I know if one of them for sure will be in New York sometime in June, we'll put it that way.
Right.
To a conference you've been trying to get me to. So we'll be there, and we'll probably knock something else out while we're up there. Maybe like New York pizza or something.
We got a comedian over here in Periscope. I thought it was a real question, so I went and read it real quick. He says blowing up an IRA reminds him of the unrest in Ireland or something. Very funny. I hadn't thought of that yet. But yeah.
Individual retirement account, blowing it up means you created a taxable event and created a higher tax situation versus the alternatives.
And it's no longer an IRA. It's just what's left after the tax man comes and takes a big old bite out of it.
Yeah, it's like another example blowing up an IRA is you create a self-directed IRA and you're saying, I'm going to buy some real estate with my IRA account, and you do it all wrong. You set up the house in your name instead of the IRA. You could just, and you use your money to paint the house and fix the broken windows, not the IRA's money, and then the rent gets redirected. Yeah, you've blown all that up. I gave you all the rules to break right there. In that case, and what'd you do? You blew up your IRA. You blew up your retirement account easily.
Now, the next live event is going to be another one of these estate planning ones. That's a question mark.
Well, we have two in March. We have, I think, let me.
Oh yeah, we have the tax one before that. That's
no,
right.
No, this is actually we had so much demand for the estate planning one. Let's see, I've got a new thing on my calendar. That's the wrong direction.
You've got a wine, wisdom, and food March 19th.
Yeah, the estate planning event, the overflow event, because we had huge demand for it, is March 18th. And we're kicking off the tax planning lunch and learn March 25th. So we're like what I talked about, which I think was awesome stuff we covered on the third hour in Saturday's show about the reason to do a Roth or not to do a Roth. We're going to talk about that, but we're also going to create beyond that max funding, create 0% income tax, income streams with zero tax. What can you do with that?
I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. Do not hide the wine is what my philosophy is. I'm Gregory Ricks, your host, along with James Parker. Hey, here's a number for you. By the year 2050, get this, the year 2050, approximately a generation from today, there's going to be 330 million Chinese that will be over the age of 65. So we're talking about here, we have like 10,400 people a day turning age 65. Here's the total number. By comparison, now what number did I give you?
330
million Chinese will be the age of 65. There's only 328 million in America. 328 million Americans alive today. Like, I don't know. Maybe we should get in a reading glasses selling business in China or something, hearing aids or something. That's a lot of people.
Think about it like this, something that you've rightfully harped on since the day one of the show is how underwater is their Social Security or their safety net's going to be because they did the one-child policy. They're not going to have enough people producing to cover the cost of all these folks if they just pick up their feet and retire.
Yeah, and most of them are men.
Yes, overwhelming majority.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to America here. 37% of retired Americans, and I'm going to tell you this, this is something I've sensed for quite a while because I'm in this business dealing with people accumulating assets, managing money, working with those approaching retirement, and then they retire at some point. Those that we work, eventually everybody we work with retires, right? Okay. 37% of retired Americans report they retired earlier than planned as a result of health problems, buyout packages, layoffs, wanting to hang out with the grandchildren, or caring for an aging parent. We see that. It's not surprising. Some have discussions and somebody said, well, yeah, I'm going to retire at 67, or somebody tell them, we'll retire at 65. I don't plan to retire. I just don't see that happen. I have a lady that worked in the legal field, and that was kind of her discussion was, oh, I don't plan to retire. And then she calls me back the next day and says, well, you know, it might be around 68. I know. I've already factored that in. And guess what? She retired at 66. You know, so it's a lot of times it comes early, and it's not because they want to, but sometimes now her, yeah, she was ready at that point that it came earlier, but sometimes it's like the surprise, like, oh my gosh, I was planning to work 3 more years. And I'm thinking, yeah, you kind of needed to, cause you're a little short, but our job is to work through them, work through the math, help get them there. But the 37%, that was not news to me. That's what we were sensing in the business.
Well, those statistics are real life to me because my dad went through a couple of those. He planned on working to a certain age, but his job offered him an early buyout package. That was pretty sweet.
Well, then that tells us that, take that a step forward. All of you listening know somebody that's probably retired earlier than they may have signaled. And if they didn't signal it to you, I'm telling you, you know somebody that's retired earlier than expected.
Well, then after my dad took the early retirement, he's noticing the math just wasn't what he had hoped it would be, but it wouldn't take much to fill the gap. So he went out and got a little part-time job, and he was working that. And it was one of these jobs where you don't really have to work. It was just something nice and easy. It didn't pay that good, but just enough to cover the bills and really occupy his time is what he needed more than anything else. And so then he kind of reset the time frame. He's like, all I got to do is do this for about, I don't know, 5 more years, and then I'll for real be set, not have to worry about anything. Heart attack. The second he made his plans, God had a good giggle and put him on a different path that he didn't expect. So then he got jumped out of the job market again for health reasons. So two of those are wrapped up in one story of my dad.
Yeah, sometimes there's changes that we don't expect that's going to come along. I talked to a fellow recently. He retired and been retired a while, and he does some part-time stuff. And he says, yeah, I make minimum wage, but I enjoy doing it. It gives me something to do. And he was happy in retirement.
All right. This is probably, do we agree this is our favorite call from Saturday show? Sometimes you just go in and you sign up for your Social Security account and everything goes smooth. Sometimes it doesn't. Matthew Metairie, you're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Matthew?
Oh, well, my wife, she was trying to set up a Social Security account online, and they started asking her all of these weird questions that, you know, she can't possibly answer, like, what credit account did you set up in 2004? And she, racking her brain to remember what she set up in 2004, she put down what she thought was the correct answer and says, no, you're wrong, and locked her out for 24 hours. And they have a number. You can leave your number, and they will get back to you right away. Well, she left the number. They have not gotten back to her.
You know, Matthew, when I went through this process, I remember those questions, and a couple of them were trick questions. It was, did you buy a house in 2010? I was like, no, I bought that thing in 2012. So
yeah,
it was a little tricky there, but I didn't get locked out for 24 hours. I'm my own biographer pretty good. Gregory, you got anything to add on that one?
Yeah, I got locked out.
Oh, you did too?
A couple of times.
Oh man.
So
this is the thing.
So here's the thing. They're pulling it from your credit report. It's in your credit report. If you have access to your credit report, you might want to pull that information up before you go online to do that, depending on how complicated your life is. And sometimes, you know, like, I know who my mortgage is with, but it shows up with a different name of who's servicing the mortgage.
Yeah.
And then if you bought a couple of different vehicles,
hang on, Matthew.
Hang on. And it could be timing of buying vehicles or the amount of the payment. So there's things there. It depends. If your life's real simple, this is easy to set up. If you have a lot of stuff going on and done things over time, and maybe you're not the one primarily handling it in your household. Yeah, you could have some obstacles, but refer to your credit report if you have access to it.
That's genius. Does that help, Matthew?
Well, is that, I tried to go to Credit Karma and got locked out of that.
You're just having a bad week here, Matthew.
Well, that's for your own safety. Just think of it that way when you start expletives start flying because you got locked out for the 10th time. It's good. They're protecting you.
Yeah, and if you can't
even
get into
from
it,
yourself.
Yeah, it's much harder for the Nigerians to get in there as well.
All right.
Well, good luck with all that. Did you set yours up and you got through fine, but your wife had trouble? Was there any
success? No, I didn't set mine up yet. I'm thinking to myself, gee, maybe it's better if I just take a week off and camp out at the Social Security office.
No, look, I think what Gregory said was brilliant. That probably comes from your credit report. And if you have that next to you, you probably be able to answer those questions better. See if you can do it for yourself this time, and then maybe we can coach the wife through it, or you can coach the wife through it, and better luck next time. But good, they're taking security serious over there. All right, we're back live now. So, yeah, he got locked out of the Social Security, and he got locked out of Credit Karma.
Camping out at Social Security is not going to get the online account opened. And you're talking about, you know, the lockout is the lockout. You can't get all upset about it. Let the lockout be the lockout. That's who the lockout is. It's like the fish has got to be the fish.
I need to
let
see that
movie,
though.
Let it be who it is. It's protecting you from yourself in that case. And, you know, I think back, I got locked out. It's like I saw a bill the other day, and it reminded me of the lockout is like a TD. That was like a notice to, you know, car payment statement thing. And then I remembered, and that reminded me of the mortgage, which I know the bank who that's through, but there was another servicer that showed up and I'm supposed to, I thought, you know, the bank was the bank, but the bank isn't the bank.
Bank was the bank, but there's a new bank now.
So, yeah, you might want to check your credit report before you do the online. You can say, well, how do I check that? Well, personally, I have access to my credit reports because I pay a minimal monthly fee to get alerts when the credit number changes. And if there's been some credit accessed or somebody wants to open up a card, I kind of get these alerts, but I can also get in a report, which that helped to answer the questions. I have a good bit of stuff going on. James, you might only had one or two things.
If you have a financial situation not quite sure what to do, call Gregory 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're winning at life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Live Financial Talk Radio. We do this every evening at 7. Yes, we're here every evening. If we get preempted, then jump over to the stream. You can get that through the iHeartRadio app. Even better yet, Winning at Life app. Free download. One-time login. You can text, email, call us from the show. 504-260-0995. I am Gregory Ricks. And I am the advisor, and I'll be the advisor. How's that for you?
I'll be the co-host. I'm James Parker. 504-260-0995 if you have any questions. Let's do Paige in Thibodaux. You're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Paige?
Okay. Hi, Gregory, and hi, James. Now, my question is this. We did a loan modification with our mortgage company, and this year when we got our mortgage tax statement, it was greatly reduced by $7,000, and I'm not understanding what happened. I want to get some clarity from you before I call them.
So what was it that was reduced?
You know your mortgage tax that comes out when you pay your mortgage?
Okay.
Like in the escrow?
So, yeah, you know the your taxes that they take out from your mortgage.
Correct.
Okay, it was greatly reduced this year. Like normally, it's $13,000 to $14,000, and I can claim that on the at the end of the year. But this year, it was reduced by $7,000.
Okay, one part is when they're escrowing money to hold it to pay your taxes on your property, pay your insurance and such. But it sounds like that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about interest rate deduction that goes on your credit rep- I mean, on your tax return, itemized deductions to reduce your taxes to give you more of money back, and that number was lower. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the mortgage tax, that money was lower this year. It's your annual tax and interest statement, that statement. So this year, it was nowhere near what it normally is.
And being you had a loan modification, that sounds like you had an adjustment to where you were having a mortgage problem of some type and you needed help on that. And so something was written down, meaning discount or wrote off to fix that to where your mortgage is healthy again. Is that somewhat accurate?
That's accurate. But
yeah, and that might be where that pain is of what had been reduced, because that was kind of written off there.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, a friend of mine, host of Mortgage Gumbo, Dwayne Stein, and he's at mortgagegumbo.com, is somebody that might could explain that. Another friend of mine is Jude Heath of J. Heath & Company CPA firm, would probably have an explanation of that, because that does tie in the tax returns there. I have an understanding of what you have going on, but I'm probably not giving you enough information, because you're feeling some pain there, but not having as much deduction there with the expectation of what you're getting back on your tax return.
Okay. Yeah, because I noticed, like, when we did our taxes this year, The tax guy let us know, because of the new tax laws, we just didn't meet enough deductions. Like, that changed as well for us this year.
Oh, so you didn't itemize? Is that what you're saying?
We did. We itemized as much as we could and everything that we had. But we have a lot of medical, and we put all that on our taxes this year, and we're not walking away with hardly nothing.
That standard deduction so huge.
I have felt that for a long time on the medical stuff, when I have medical expenses and such, and it doesn't seem to help me out at all in those cases. You know, when we get tax breaks, and actually I've got a message from one of our tax people, and there's a $10,000 SALT cap, and here's the thing, what happens, and this is our slow move to a flat tax. Think about this. They lower our tax brackets, and they adjusted the brackets. So we've got overall, it was kind of a 3% reduction in overall taxes. And the standard deduction went up per individual from $6,000 to $12,000. But do you think they just gave that to us without taking anything away? No, they're taking, and it goes to the itemized deductions. It goes to business deductions as well. So they giveth on one column, and they taketh away on another column. And to me, that's that slow shift to flat tax.
Because it was even, I noticed the difference. We give charitable donations. I noticed a big difference this year with that as well. And my tax guy, I've been dealing with him for a very long time. He was explaining everything, but I think I was taking in some because I was still in shock. Like, yeah. I was just in shock.
You're not the first caller to kind of be in shock on that. And I think more of us are going to be in shock as well, because we do quite a bit of charitable work and such. And I probably won't feel as much relief on that, but it's not going to stop me from doing what we got to do to help those that need our contributions, but we won't get all those deductions that we're used to getting.
Wish we had a better fix for you, Paige.
Yeah, I can't fix it for you, but that's just the way things are going. We save money maybe in one area of taxes, and then what we're expecting doesn't come, and you're not the first caller and won't be the last this tax season. So wish you the best. Thanks for listening to Winning at Life.
504-260-0995 if you want to be next. So,
but that is kind of the theme that we're seeing, and this isn't the first repackaging of the taxes where we've seen deductions go away.
Yeah, and we're hearing this from people who itemize. Period. If you're the standard deduction guy, you're happy with the new tax reform. Okay, so
when you get one of the impact is when you have a standard deduction of 1,000 versus 6, they are wanting to shift people away from the itemization. That's part of that.
So your wife sent out a link to a story, and the rule is if Stacy sends it out, you better read it. And I was questioning the rule on this one because I was like, we've heard this story. Not only have I heard this story, but we did this on the show 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. But if she doesn't remember, then you know what? The audience probably doesn't remember. I'll give it a read.
That is a little while. Some people are like shocked. Yeah, we've been doing this show for about 9 years now.
Well, another outlet here has gone and profiled one of these people who retire and spend their retirement residence at various Holiday Inns.
The Holiday Inn retirement home?
Yeah, and what is awesome about the article that Stacy sent me, this is just a new guy, got profiled half a decade later, and it just came out on USA Today this morning. And there's some stats in here that weren't included the last time we did this 5 years ago, so this makes me want to revisit it. And the movement here is there's people who stay at multiple Holiday Inns to save money. You get all these amenities and service. You get to see the world. And it's significantly better than either owning your own place and having to do all that upkeep or living in an assisted living facility. It's a lot like living in an assisted living facility, really. Someone comes in, they make your bed, they vacuum the place. If a light bulb goes out, you call a guy and they come change it for you. You know, you're not charged for any of that. But
you don't have to worry about the linens, the towels, or anything.
Right. The average nursing home cost is $188 per day. If you do on a monthly rate, the average it costs you to stay at a Holiday Inn is about $60 a day. So you're what, $150 ahead?
What about a Holiday Inn Express? I see those commercials. People get smarter when they stay there. So can you do that at those?
That wasn't addressed in this profile here. But here's the new stat that that Stacy gave us that we didn't have last time. There's a Facebook group of people who give each other tips who are living this lifestyle. And there's more than 100,000 people who do this.
Really?
Yes. So it's about 50,000 couples.
If you're Holiday Inn, do you feel taken advantage of?
They love it because their mission in life is to have their Holiday Inn as full as possible, as often as possible. So if you have some guy that's just clocking a room every single day,
then you're good.
They love these people. But the amenities are amazing. Gregory, I'm an inherent lazy guy. You think I like making my bed every day?
Will they bring breakfast to your room?
No, but you do have free breakfast at almost every single Holiday Inn. Almost every Holiday Inn that has a lounge has a happy hour, so there's a big fat discount there. You can go stay with like one child moved to one state. You can go stay with them and their grandkids for a little bit. Then you can go stay with one of your other kids and their family for a little bit. Then you go somewhere for vacation. Then you go to the Grand Canyon. You can do whatever you want, and there's all these amenities. There's a pool right there. Most of them have a workout room, so you don't have to have a membership to the gym that you have to drive to or whatever. It's down the hall. There's all like shampoo, razors, soap. These people are cleaning up. And the more I read these articles, like the one Stacy sent me, it may not be a crazy idea, Gregory.
Hey, let's start a conversation. Tax-free income. I have a book I want to send out to you. This is quick here. But if you'd like to join the conversation, email, text, or call the office. 504-832-9200. info@gregoryricks.com.
You're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.